Good morning, everyone. Oh, it's so lovely to be back with you again. But it's really hard, because what I would love to be doing is going around giving you all a big hug. But they tell me I'm not to, and I've got to keep my distance, and oh dear, this is not good. But it's wonderful to be back. I had the most fantastic holiday, and it really was a holiday. Putting my feet up, enjoying the sunshine, and yeah. So, number of intimations on the order of service. I'm glad there was a good turnout to hear David Scott. That would have been a really good evening. And this Wednesday, Kirk Session will meet at 7 o'clock in the small hall. Easter Fair, it's advertised, but like everything else, there's a question mark. We're just taking advice day by day as to what can go ahead and what needs to be cancelled. So we'll let you know if it's not going to go ahead. I think all the other intimations are as printed. I've also got poster and flyers for, do you remember last year a group of us went to see the Passion play in, it was Carluke we went to, wasn't it? It was in various places. Well, this year they're doing it in Hamilton. And there's flyers and posters at the back. And I did get word on Thursday night that given the coronavirus situation, they might not be able to have crowds of people round about. And if that's the case, they're going to live stream it. So we'd be able to sit at home and watch it all on our computers or whatever other devices we've got. So mark the date in your diary anyway. Friday, the 10th of April, that's Good Friday, at 3:15, because it was a really wonderful experience last year, and I'm sure it will be again. I bring greetings from St. Stephen's Church, Choma, and a couple of things that they do there which are kind of lodged in my head. Every time anybody's finishing any part, they say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the whole congregation go, it's lovely, it's simple, and it's not against coronavirus. So we're up here to worship God in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yes, wonderful, you've got it. God is love. And we are all his beloved children. We can only love one another because he first loved us. And his love is a perfect love which drives out fear. So we have nothing to fear because God is always with us. And that fills us with joy. And our psalm this morning to open our service is a few verses from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, amen. And our opening hymn is the wonderful one, I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart. Absolutely! Excellent! And in Zambia, people do join in like that. And they all move and they dance and it's wonderful. So if we can have a wee bit of a jig, that would be great as well. And youngsters especially, if you want to go around the church, because people move in and out of church and backwards and forwards throughout the service, which I have to say, the first Sunday, it starts at 7:30 in the morning. My friend and I got there at 8, and it finished at 9:30, really early. The following week, so that's just last Sunday, we again got there just before 8 o'clock, and the service eventually finished at 11:30. But the singing was fantastic. I'm not going to keep you that long, I promise. So let's sing, I've Got the Joy, 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 Joy Down in My Heart. Wonderful. Thank you all. That was great. So it's lovely to be back with you all. Can I remember any names? Because I've been learning all sorts of different names in Zambia. Let's see how I can do. We've got Laurel, because you've been running. You slipped at one corner, didn't you? That was good fun. And Ruby, you were running just as much as well. We've got two fit wee girls here. And am I going to get you right? So you're Ewan. No, you're Aaron, so you're Ewan.
No, I'm Aaron.
You're I know that the two of you are Ewan and Aaron, but I get you wrong. So Aaron. Lewis.
Lewis and Aaron.
I need another holiday. Lewis. Sincere apologies. Jack.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Yes.
Ewan.
Yeah.
And Noah. Yeah, it's great to be back. So can you remember where I was going to on my holiday? Yes.
Zambia.
Zambia, absolutely. And do you know the name of the town where the airport that I landed? Do you know, Noah? I don't think so. It was quite funny. It's actually called Livingston. So one person that I was speaking to before I went, and I was telling them about all the different flights, and they said, but why don't you just take the blue bus? So there's two Livingstons, and they're both named after the same person, Dr. David Livingston. And he was a man from Scotland. Yeah, and he went and explored Africa. And he found the Victoria Falls, which is a huge, huge waterfall. And they named the town nearest to the falls Livingston, after David Livingston. So that was the first place that I went, and I've got some pictures. The picture on the left is a statue of David Livingston, just near the Victoria Falls. And then as we were driving away, we had to give way to a bit of traffic. Can you see what it was?
Giraffe.
It was a giraffe. There was a giraffe crossing the road. It's so, so big. And my friend said, you have to be really respectful of giraffes, because if you try and overtake them, they'll kick your car and do a lot of damage. So, well, let's see what the next picture is. See if there's a zebra crossing. Oh, how did you guess? But the zebra wasn't actually crossing. No, the zebra was just beside the road. But again, I had to take my photos from inside the car, because these are wild animals. But I was so fortunate to see them so close. Yes. They can get into trouble, yeah. Again, if you go too close to the zebra, they'll kick you, and it could be very, very sore. I wonder what other pictures I've got of Zambia. Oh, now, this was the next place I went. This was all on my first day, so this was the Wednesday. Chodort Training Centre. It's where my friend Jenny used to be the principal before she retired, well, semi-retired recently. And this is just one of the rooms. Lots of people in Zambia have very little money, and they can't afford to eat. So Chodort trains people in skills that can help them to earn money so that they can buy enough money to eat. And this is their woodwork room, and there was a class going on, and they were teaching the young lads to make stools. And you can see on the right-hand side, one of the pupils just working to get his stool. And it was lovely to see, actually, because it was real old-fashioned woodwork, that they were using a hammer and a chisel to shape the wood and make, I can't remember the name of the joints, mortise and tenon joints, yeah. Wonderful to see, and they make the most beautiful solid wood furniture. They've also got a sewing school and a cookery school, so it was a fascinating place to be. What else have we got? Oh. Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
What?
In the background, there's houses.
In the background, there's houses. Yes, yeah. These are known as insakas. In Saka is just the name for the circular building with a thatched roof. And in the foreground, everywhere you drive in Zambia, there are these little stalls at the side of the road, and the people who live round about grow as much as they can in the way of fruit and vegetables, and they put them out hoping that people will stop their cars and buy.
Is the roof like straw?
It is. It's like straw or reeds, great long grasses that grow. And then underneath it's made of wood. Yeah. Or sometimes they use bricks as well. Yeah. Once I get more photos downloaded, I'll maybe show you more about Nsakas. And then remember I said, it was at the school I think I spoke about, you don't see girls playing with dolls because they've all got a little brother or sister. I never saw a pushchair because people just carry, and this is, I'm not sure why the mum was just standing there, but her two elder children are carrying the two younger children. So, can you imagine, Lewis, having to carry Aaron on your back? Or you, Laurel, would you walk around carrying Noah on your back? You would. So it's quite a different way of life. And next one. Right, this, I think, is my last picture. My last full day in Zambia, we went back down to Livingstone, because Choma is about 2 hours' drive away, and we went to the Victoria Falls. Now, the waterfall is to your left, but there's so much spray from all the water, you can't actually see it. But with the sunshine, it's creating this wonderful rainbow. And this was us walking across this bridge. And just like Scotland, it was really, really wet. We got pretty well soaked through, even though we'd put a waterproof jacket on. But it was so warm. It was lovely. And we dried off later in the day. So I had a wonderful, wonderful holiday. But I did think about you, and sometime when it's made, I have ordered something special for this church. I don't know how long it's going to take to make or how long it's going to take to get to Scotland, but watch this space, because there's something special coming for Fort St. Paul's Church from Zambia. Any questions about my time there? Yes, Noah. You've forgotten. Yes. How many flights? Oh gosh, on the way there, I flew from Edinburgh. I left there at some silly o'clock in the morning to Paris. Paris to Nairobi. Nairobi, I had 10 hours stopover and I ended up trying to sleep on the floor. It was not a good bit of the journey. And then Nairobi to Livingstone. On the way back, I flew from Livingstone to Johannesburg in South Africa. Johannesburg to Paris, and I slept on the plane, so that was a better journey. And then Paris to Edinburgh. It took me roughly 24 hours to get from here to there. So it's a fantastic holiday destination, but yes, it's not that easy to get to and from. Any other questions? It's such a different place, it's difficult to explain quite what it's like. But you know, that question about flights is really good, and what I was also going to speak to you about, I'm sure you've all heard about this COVID-19 coronavirus.
Yeah.
A horrid thing that's making people cough and making them very ill. And one of the times that you're more prone to get infected is when you're going through airports where there's lots and lots of people around. Now, I'm fit and well at the moment, but there is a tiny risk that I might have been exposed to it and might be carrying the infection. So I'm not hugging anybody, I'm not touching anybody, and I'm not getting too close to breathe on you. And that's really tough, because I love you all. But what I'm going to suggest is two different ways that we can greet each other, because we've still got to remind each other that we love each other. So we can either do the symbol for love. Can you do that? So instead of shaking hands or hugging, we can just go, I love you. Or we can do, it's an Indian greeting called Namaste, where you go, namaste. And namaste means the God in me greets, respects, or bows down before the God in you. And I think that's a beautiful concept. So, namaste. So, shall we have a word of prayer? Loving, living God, I thank you so much for the wonderful holiday and the experiences I had in Zambia. And I thank you for bringing me safely back to Forth. Lord, thank you for the little that I've been able to share with everyone here about my trip. And I hope that in future I'll be able to share more. Lord, I thank you that all over the world, people believe in you. People love you. And as we realize with the coronavirus spreading all over the world, how interconnected we all are, may we also realize how interconnected we all are in our faith in you. Lord, thank you for our church family, for keeping them all safe and sound. And let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So in the coming weeks, lots of things are probably going to be cancelled, but it doesn't matter, because we've still got that joy, 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 joy down in our hearts. We've still got that peace that passes understanding down in our hearts. And we can go out with joy. Do you know the people in Italy who at the moment are told not to go out their houses because of for fear of infection, they're all opening their windows and singing. And it's lovely. There was a film of an opera singer giving a whole aria to all her neighbors. Wouldn't it be great if we could all do that? So let's keep singing. So our next hymn is You Shall Go Out With Joy and Be Led Forth in Peace. We normally sing it at the end of a service, but I thought, you're all going out down to the halls now, so let's keep that joy and let you go out with joy. Delighted that Robert is fit and well again and is going to lead us in prayer.
Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God of creation, we are here together to worship your holy name, Lord of salvation. We're here together to praise for what you have done for us. King of blessings, we're here together to give you the best we can bring, for your power holds us in being. Your love makes the impossible possible for us. Your infinite grace creates the way for us to enjoy friendship with you. Your faithfulness guards the way of our salvation. You're always there for us, never old, never bored, never tired. Your mercy is endless, and your mercy's new every morning. For all this, we give you thanks. As we meet here in your presence together, we ask that you'll pour your love into our hearts once again through your Holy Spirit. We ask that you will renew us in hope and fill our emptiness with your living water of eternal life. May we remain faithful in life's hardships. Keep us glorifying your name in our daily lives. And may we worship you in spirit and truth. And may we live so as to be a source of blessing to the world. Yet, as we thank you for all that you are and for all that you have done for us, we confess that often in the busyness and anxieties of life, we have ignored you and have broken your heart. Forgive us for not worshipping you as we should. Forgive us for raising up other gods in your place, gods of our own making, power and money, influence and success, gadgets and machines. Forgive us our idols. Forgive us for thinking and speaking against our neighbours, for envying their good fortune, and for not doing enough for those around us. It's true that we do not kill or steal, but often we have hateful thoughts, and often we desire things that are not ours. Forgive us for breaking your Son's commandment to love even our enemies. Merciful God, set Christ's cross between us and our selfishness. Pardon us, heal us, restore us, forgive us, and in Christ's name, lift us up to a new obedience and to faithful lives. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We will now have our Bible readings. The second reading from John's Gospel is a very long one, the story of the woman at the well. So settle down, listen, and be reminded of the story.
Romans 5, verses 1 to 11. Peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has given to us, you see, just the right time when we were still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. John 4:5-42. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. Come on, you. Pause. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What have you said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do now, what you do know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and that has not come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." The disciples rejoined Jesus. Just when his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want, or why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jug, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and they made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have bought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." "Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap that you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of you or what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world." Amen.
Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our hymn before the sermon, "Come Holy Ghost, Our Hearts Inspire." I think we'll just sit and sing this one. It's hymn 598, if you're using a hymn book.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, may the questions on our lips and the wonderings of our hearts lead us to a deeper trust in you, our maker, mender, and muse. Amen. Living water. I was delighted to find that life in Zambia has improved for many over the last 13 years since I did my placement there. The supermarkets were in some ways better stocked than they are here at the moment. Certainly didn't seem to be any toilet roll shortages. One major difference, particularly in the part of Choma where I was staying with my friend Jenny Featherstone, was that they now had water from a borehole. And this meant it was safe to drink the water from the tap. A far cry from the last time I was in Zambia. Last year, as I think I told you before I went out, they had suffered a severe drought in Zambia. But wonderfully, by the time I arrived, and who knows, maybe I took some of Scotland's rain with me, the rains had come and the land was beautifully green again. The crops of maize were growing surprisingly well, as long as they'd been planted at the right time. And as a result, there's a real hope that the price of mealy meal, which is the staple diet, should soon come down at least a little. So I didn't dare complain at two solid days of torrential rain during my holiday. Living water seems so much more visible in Zambia. Whenever we'd finished washing our dishes or had a bath, we would take that water out to the garden in buckets and water all the fruit and veg that Jenny's growing there. She had grapes growing along one fence and passion fruit growing along the other fence. Courgettes, tomatoes, aubergines and butternut squash grew abundantly as long as they were watered. What was sad was that during my time there were some riots and some violence, which is very unusual for Zambia, which is generally a very peaceful nation. And as a result of that, Jenny and I were advised not to travel. So I didn't get to visit my old friends. I didn't get to visit the Play for All project, which so many of you generously gave Lego, jigsaws, and money for. But all that I was given is heading up to Play for All on the bus, carefully wrapped up in a chitengi, so it's not obvious what it is. Now, the first week in particular, I really struggled with this. I was feeling frustrated that I wasn't able to do all that I'd planned. But as time went on, God helped me to see that He knew how tired I really was and that I needed a rest. So looking at the story of the woman at the well, I'm not going to focus on the woman today because so much has been preached about her in the past. I'm looking at Jesus because even Jesus was tired, and that was why he sat down by the well in Sychar. He shows us that it's okay to be tired. It's okay to need a rest. Because just think, if Jesus had kept going, determined to show how strong he was, striding into town to buy food along with the disciples, he would have missed the opportunity of that fascinating conversation with the nameless Samaritan woman at the well. His wonderful message of good news for all would not have spread among the Samaritans, or not at that time. And that one woman's life would have remained unchanged. You see, sometimes rest can be productive. It can help us to receive and share that living water. The living water Jesus spoke of is the source of eternal life. For he said, The water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. I love that phrase, welling up to eternal life. Speaking to the children and singing about joy, I've always been conscious that my faith gives me a joy that bubbles up within my heart and then just spills out. Turning to Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he doesn't actually use the words living water, but surely the phrase he uses that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This conjures up an image of his love being like water and poured into our hearts. It reminded me of a story about a missionary quite a number of years ago now, visiting a country, I think it was somewhere like Romania. And first of all, they visited a big modern city, newly built and developed, lots of new buildings, and they had top-class plumbing, beautiful taps and toilets and everything. But unfortunately, they hadn't actually connected the water yet, so nothing came out of the taps. The same missionary then travelled out to a small village, an undeveloped area, and was given a jug to hold under the natural spring to collect water. He found that by simply sitting still, that stillness and simplicity led to a jug full of fresh, clear water. And I believe that in order to have our jugs, our hearts, filled with the living water that Christ offers, we need to be still. And maybe, just maybe, this is one of God's messages through the COVID-19 pandemic. Instead of being, as I was that first week of my holiday, frustrated about what we can't do, we should relax and allow God's will to be done. Now, I'm not advocating taking risks. We must all take reasonable precautions to avoid the spread of the disease. Let's keep washing our hands and sing while we do it. The first verse of most hymns is about 20 seconds, so it doesn't have to be happy birthday that you sing as you wash. But also, let's look at the advantages. I saw this poem just written a few days ago, and it summed up my personal thoughts. It's called Pandemic, and it's written by someone called Lynn Unger. What if you thought of it as the Jews consider the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing. Pray. Touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in another's hands. Surely that has become clear. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live. Pandemic as a Sabbath. So let's make the best of our time, whether we're in isolation or not, whether we're in good health or poor. Let's focus on receiving the living water that only Christ Jesus can offer. Because remember, the water that Christ gives us will become in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life and enabling us to do what we can to help others, but also to rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we come to our offering, I am reminded of the noise in Zambia, for one or two choirs would be singing their hearts out as everyone danced forward to put their offering into the plate. And I'm realizing that one of the many pieces of advice which I'd forgotten for this morning was we should have actually had the offering plate at the door for you to put your offering in rather than going round with it. But we'll just do our normal today. And next week, if we're still allowed to worship, we'll do it differently. Thank you. Two weeks ago in the church in Choma, the church treasurer came to the front at this point and told us to give thanks to the people in Choma for having money to put in the offering. He had been out at a small church way out in the country the previous week, and their weekly offering was about 25 kwacha. Now, there are 20 kwacha to the pound. Can you imagine a church which can only give just over a pound in a week? So let us pray. Loving, living God, we thank you so much for our richness. Lord, we have so much here in the West. We all have clean water that comes out of taps. We all have electricity that stays on 24 hours a day. We all have friends and family, shops with plentiful food on the shelves, even if they haven't got toilet rolls. And so, Lord, we ask you now to receive these, our offerings. And we ask you to use both them and our lives, our worship, our faith, to spread the good news of your love throughout forth and further afield. In Jesus' name, amen. Spirit of God, come dwell within me. To the beautiful tune of Leaving of Lismore is our hymn before the last prayers, hymn 722. Normally, at this time of prayers, I say prayers of thanksgiving, and then we have a time of silence for prayers for others. Today, I'm turning it round. We're going to start with a time of silence, and I would like you all to name those things that you are grateful for. If you want to say them aloud, just quietly, nobody else needs to hear it. Because again, in the church in Zambia, they had times of open prayer. And it struck me that in this country, if I ask people to pray out loud, they tend to feel they have to speak loud enough for everyone to hear. But that's not what it's about. The sound of many people in a church speaking their prayers out loud was just a wonderful, gentle murmur filling the room. So if you would like to give your prayers of thanks out aloud, but gently, God's listening. Nobody else needs to. Let us come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, we have so much to be grateful for. And so now each of us names the things that we as individuals are most grateful for today. Loving, living God, we thank you. And today, may we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake. May we who have no risk factors remember those who are most vulnerable. And we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. May we who have the luxury of working from home remember those who must choose between preserving their health or making their rent. May we who have the flexibility to care for our children when their schools close remember those who have no options. May we who have to cancel our trips and holidays remember those who have no safe place to go. May we who face losing our margin money in the tumult of the economic market remember those who have no margin at all. May we who settle in for a quarantine at home remember those who have no home. As fear grips our country and our world, let us choose love. During this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other, let us yet find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbors. And may we all take time to receive the living water that you offer, to receive that perfect love which drives out all fear. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. We live in very uncertain times, but we have the absolute certainty that God is love, and that we are his beloved children. So let's close our service today with hymn 559, There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. So let us go out into the week ahead, secure in God's love, with that living water, that joy bubbling up in our hearts. And let's allow that love to drive out any fear. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with every one of us, everyone we love, everyone who loves us, and all those we struggle to love, both today and forevermore. But I will not touch anybody.